Good morning. We are going to continue in this series on wisdom in the wilderness, the journey of Moses. And in week one, we talked about the fact that, one, we're all leaders, right? But as leaders, the most important thing is that we have to know who we are, and we have to know whose we are. We can't get stuck in our circumstances, whether they're good or they're bad, because they'll change. But we're defined by who we are in God. Remember, Moses' mama said he is a fine child, but we are all fine children of God. Last week, Asanji brought us an amazing, excellent message on what it means to be driven God's way. Because leaders are driven, but a drive that is founded just in us and not surrendered to God can often get us into a whole lot of trouble. We can jump ahead like Moses did. He was passionate to free his people, but he got ahead of God and he didn't follow God's laws and he murdered this guy to protect the people. That was his drive, but it was his drive outside the will of God. Now, luckily, Moses got a do-over. And that same drive compelled him to save these young women, to defend them righteously. Defend them, to serve them. So whereas before, Moses had gone from most fortunate in the palace to most wanted, where he had gone from losing the palace and being rejected by the very people he was trying to defend, to running weeks on end in the wilderness to get to Midian and just plop down by a well, devastated and flawed and failed, he got another chance. And I think that's important for us to recognize and to remember. Henry Blackaby, who was an incredible disciple of God and an incredible discipler of people for God, says this about failure. Failure is a powerful force in the making of a leader. The failure itself is not the issue. It's what the failure leads to that is so determinative in leadership development. For true leaders, failure will not destroy them. Instead, further develop their character. Anybody prefer to have their failure be character development than destruction? Anybody in the house besides me? Just saying. So we saw last week how Moses' drive surrendered to God, in that even his consequences became a catalyst for his calling. So today we want to catch up to where we're at. I just want to read real quick for you Exodus 2, verses 23 to 25. It says, during that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. Let me make it clear, when it says God remembered, God never forgot. God never forgets us. See, God does not forget us in our suffering. He is there. Hear me. God does not forget you in your suffering. He is there with you in the midst. Over the last several weeks, Pastor Rick and I have, I guess you guys need to foot stomp that point, right? Got a little attention, got a siren and everything. Over the last couple weeks, we have walked with a local family through some incredible suffering and struggle. And here's what I want you to know. Some of that suffering was consequence, and some of that suffering was circumstance they had no control over, but all of it was brutal, and it was difficult, and it was really hard. And it would have been really easy in those moments to be blind to God's presence and to focus on the incredibly hard instead of looking for God in the midst of the circumstance. But we did. They did. And they saw God move on their behalf over and over and over again. And if you're in the midst of the hard and you're in the midst of the struggle, remember to keep your eyes focused on God. Because like Peter, when we look at the waves and we take our eyes off of God and focus only on our circumstance, then it is overwhelming. But I promise you, if you open your eyes And look, remember how many times in the passage last week Moses looked, he observed, he watched, he looked. If you open your eyes to look for God, you will see him standing in the midst of your storm, and not just standing there, but holding you up in the midst of the struggle. God has not forgotten us. So, God has not forgotten us. God had not forgotten the Israelites. We want to continue on this journey of leadership, right? Today we talk about what it means to be surrendered to what it has, what God has for us. No surprise that in a message on being surrendered, a completely finished message at yesterday would turn into a 5 o'clock rewrite this morning, because God said, right message, right outline, your focus is in the wrong place for today, and cause a pastor to be really surrendered. Y'all know how scary it is to get up here when you do a 5 a.m. rewrite? Maybe you don't. I'll just keep moving. Confess my fear and say, God's got me. It's okay. Because God cares enough about you that there was something special. You know, that's the beauty. I'm going to go off script for a minute. That's the beauty of God's living word. You know, God says his word is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. The same exact text, the same exact narrative has so many rich lessons in it. And God will tailor them. God will illuminate a different part of the passage to you when and where you need it, exactly how you need it to be. And it doesn't change the whole truth of the context of the whole message. But God's got a special word for somebody today, y'all, because he does not normally rewrite a message at 5 a.m. I'm just saying. Okay, so I want you to read with me. We're going to start in Exodus 3, verses 1 to 5. I'm going to take a pause at the end of verse 3. And so let's go ahead and read this with me. Let me have your big reading voices. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? Pause. I love the humanity of this text. I came in this morning and Pastor Rick and Kermit were up there and they were kind of chuckling at this. Like Moses says, I will go over and see what this strange sight is, right? Y'all, we read that with our Bible glasses on. Read it with your people glasses on. How many times have you been telling a story and said, I was walking along in my day and all of a sudden there was something? I did a double take. I had to back up and go look again. Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Moses wrote this. He is telling y'all a story and inviting you into it. He says, here I was. I went out for weeks away from Midian, by the way, to go to the mountain of the Lord. I've got my flocks. I'm tending the flocks. I'm tending, they're not even my flocks or my father-in-law's flocks, but I'm tending the sheep. By the way, y'all know sheep are stinky and smelly and less than intelligent, incredibly less than intelligent. And he says, and all of a sudden, there was a bush with flames, but it didn't burn up. And I had to do a double take. I had to step it back and go look a little bit closer. He goes, oh, you know what? Mm-mm. Anybody had those moments where you see something? Okay, maybe you didn't see a miraculously burning bush, but you see something strange and you just have to back up. God's trying to get your attention. Yep. 4 years ago, when we were in Israel, we were in Israel. COVID just messed up everything on the timeline. And we, Rick and I, were going through, was coming towards the end of our trip, and it was, we were going to the Church of the Annunciation, which is the church, they believe they placed a church on the spot where Mary's home was, Jesus's mother, right? Who knows if that's where it actually was or not. It was in that village, in that region. But we're going through this church, and we're not even into the church yet, but this would be the spot where they believe the angel said, you who are highly favored, you are going to have the Son of God, right? Like, this whole thing transpires, paraphrase, by the way. And And so we're walking along, and we aren't even into the church yet, and we're kind of tired. We're on, like, day 14. We're walking, like, 8-10 miles a day, like 25, 30,000 steps a day in 110-degree heat, 105-degree heat. So you're getting a little weary. You haven't had a day off. It's exciting. It's amazing. But you're like, okay. And we're walking, and we go walking through the gardens, and there's a cross there, and there's trees all around. You're kind of in the shade, except that there is this beam of sunlight. And some of you I have shown the pictures to. The rest of you, I changed my Facebook profile picture this morning. Check it out. But there is this ray of sunlight shining immediately down on this cross, right in that spot. And it was just like I saw, nobody else saw it. We're walking with 25 people. Nobody else saw it. I'm not crazy. I called them back. I pointed it out. They saw it. It was really there. I have a picture. But it was like God said, pay attention right here. Look at this. I have something special for you. So while God may not bring us miraculously burning bushes, let me encourage you to have your eyes wide open for the moments where God will meet you and say, look at this right here. So here's Moses. He sees this bush. The passage goes on to say, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush. Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. And God, I'm reading with the voice because Moses wrote it. It's his story, right? Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Do you remember a few months back, some of you were here and we did a sermon on holy ground and what that meant? If you don't, I just want to give you a slight recap on a bit of that sermon. Because what we got to was that holy just means set apart for God's use, right? And that we're all holy ground. Because every human being is created in the image of God. God picked up the dust and he formed it, and he breathed life into it. God has a plan for each one of us. Ephesians 2:10, you are God's masterpiece, created anew in Christ Jesus to do the good works God had for you long ago. From the beginning of time, when God picked up the first ball of dirt and formed it and breathed miraculous life into it, you were set apart as sacred and holy. That does not mean that some of us aren't defiled ground. That does not mean that if we have not accepted the gift of salvation and accepted the gift of grace, then we don't have that covering of righteousness. But it does not change the fact that we are all sacred and set apart. And it just takes us cooperating with the plan to walk in the plan. Y'all good with that? Every person in this room, God has a plan for you. Every family member online, God has a plan for you. You are sacred and set apart to do the works that God intends for you to do. And they're important, and they're sacred, and they're incredible. And hard and fun and all, but we'll get to that. Just like Moses, I want you to keep your eyes open for the burning bush moment. Because Moses was in the middle of his mundane. Moses was in the middle of tending the sheep out in the fields, hot wilderness. By the way, it said for a long time, it had been 40 years. Moses had been an outcast tending sheep in Midian. And in the midst of Moses' mundane, God showed up with a miraculous. And I want to say to us that God creates sacred spaces in the midst of our mundane. So if you would say, I'm not a leader, this doesn't apply to me, I'm having a bad spell, God's got nothing for me in this, I'm just trudging along doing the day-to-day thing, I would say that's not true, because God showed up with the miraculous in the midst of Moses' mundane, and he wants to do the same for you. There is sacred space in what you do because you yourself are set apart. Amen, church? Amen. Okay. The passage goes on. God introduces himself. He lets Moses know he hasn't forgotten his people. He says, look, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I hear my people's cries. I have not forgotten my people's cries. I hear this. And then he says this. And actually, I think I'm going to have you read with me Exodus 3, verses 9 and 10. You guys ready to read?
Yep.
Online fam, you ready to read with us?
Yes.
All right. There's one for you in the room. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Remember Moses, who was so determined to rescue his people, he killed somebody? I bet this has to be the moment where Moses is like, yes, I finally get to go do it. I mentioned we know from Acts 7:23 that Moses had spent 40 years in Midian. 40 years raising his family, working for his father-in-law, tending the smelly, dumb, difficult sheep. No significant means, because it doesn't say he's tending his own sheep. It says he's tending his father-in-law's sheep, so he doesn't even have his own flocks. Wandering around in the middle of the desert in the wilderness, hurting animals that don't want to be herded and follow direction. You think God was preparing him for what was ahead of him? You think that in the midst of feeling insignificant, that God was growing his character, as Blackaby said, in that failure, he was developing Moses' character to be a better leader? Do you think in Moses' wildest dreams, he thought he was perfectly on track for God's assignment for his life in the midst of the wilderness? Oh, y'all being quiet? You being churchy? Are you being proper, or is this just boring? Because I'm thinking, like, there is no way at this point Moses thinks, I am right on track for the best promotion. And suddenly God shows up and says, oh, guess what? I'm sending you. Go. One of my commentaries says that a special personal appearance of God to an aging exile working as a shepherd to initiate the divine call for this unlikely candidate to be his prophet for the purpose of delivering the Israelites from Egypt. Don't miss how huge this assignment is. It takes us back to what drives you. And how do you take what drives you and learn to surrender it to God? Years ago, I guess I'd been in the military maybe 5 or 6 years, and I was assigned down in Tampa, and my supervisor was this crusty old senior master sergeant. He was an E8, and I was having trouble leading some of my younger folks. They were a little challenging, and I was having trouble connecting and relating to motivate them, and Senior Master Sergeant Skill says, Sergeant Legacy, what motivates you? What's important to you? Why do you do what you do? And I said, well, I just want to make a difference. Like, what I meant was I just want the world to be better because I was in it. Like, I want to help people know how to live a freer and better life. This was before my calling to pastor, but in the military, I was serving, and all I wanted to do was pour it all out so that things could be better. And I never would have imagined that in the 13 years of military service that I was giving, that God was preparing me for a whole different way of making things better. But it was there. And when I thought, when I left my military career and thought I'd left it all behind and had no idea what I was going to do, God showed me the next step. And he says, here's how you're going to make it better. Some of you are at the place where you've set it down. You're past the thing you thought you were made to do. Like Moses was past the thing. He thought he was past the thing he was made to do to free the people. And this is where God really had me pause this morning and rewrite this section, because he's inviting you to pick up that dream. I don't know if you all sense the presence of the Holy Spirit so tangibly in worship this morning. But I did, and I know some of you did. And I want to tell you, God has shown up today with a burning bush to say to you, your dream, I still have a plan for it. I have a plan for you and an invitation to walk in it. You see, God has a plan and you are part of his plan. God has a plan and you are part of his plan. So start reaching down into that what motivates you. And look for the moment where God says, this is how I'm going to walk that out in your life in this season. Are we all right? Okay. So we get to this moment, as I mentioned a minute ago, this has to be like God says, go. Like Moses, go. And this has to be the moment where Moses is like, yes, I get to go do the thing. Like, I expect to see Moses fall down in gratitude. Like, you're getting me out of this desert. So he thinks, you're getting me out of this wilderness. And I get to stop tending sheep. This is awesome. I get to go tell Pharaoh what to do and how you're going to just take care of everything. And his God isn't that big. Like, can you hear? Can you be Moses? Can y'all stop being so churchy? Like, this is the moment God says, guess what? I just empowered you to do what you really wanted to do all along. You get to go get them. Go get them. Go stick them. Set my people free. And you'd think Moses would fall down and have a hallelujah moment. Nope. Because in the midst of it, Moses meets this supernatural sacred moment with five buts. And you know what we say about keeping your butt out of the way? Just saying, it's in scripture. We're going to read it together. Moses meets this moment with five buts. And I think that they are but God moments that most of us have. And I think it's important to cover them. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 11, it says, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Who am I? But God, I'm a nobody. Do you hear it? But God, I'm a nobody. Who am I to go do that? Has God ever given you an assignment and you were like, who am I? I don't have what it takes to do that. I'm not that important. My job's not that important. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm just a cashier. I'm just a retired guy. I'm just... surely, I'm not the one. None of us ever say that. None of us ever feel that way, right? Read Exodus 3:12 with me. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. God said, yes, you, and I am with you. If we go back to Moses' mom's words in the very beginning, she saw he was a fine child. We talked about we're all fine children. God gives you an assignment and you're not sure about it. He gives you something that is going to be really hard and you don't think you're up to it. Guess what? You are, because God is with you. You are a fine child of God. You are holy and sacred and set apart, and he is with you. He says he will never leave us nor forsake us. No matter where we go, from the east to the west, from the mountains to the bottoms to the depths of the oceans, we cannot get away from God. The loving Father who created you and who has given you the task is with you as he sends you out to accomplish it. And yes, you, because you're a fun child. Amen, church? I don't think y'all are believing it. Everybody better say, I'm a fine child of God. All right, we're going to try that again. I need Keith in here to get you some cardio combat voices. I'm a fine child of God. I'm a fine child of God. It's a little bit better. I think we'll go. Then we get to but number two. Okay, I might be yours and you might be with me and you might be the creator of the universe, but God, verse 13, Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your father has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? What a ridiculous question. What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And this is where God gives his name, Yahweh. But Moses' but is, but I don't know your name. His real but was, I don't know you that well. How do I go tell people about you? How do I go tell people you're going to set them free? Because I don't know you well enough to do that. I don't know the intricacies of you, God. I'm not that special. I'm not the pastor. I'm not the ministerial student. I'm not the one who grew up in church. But see, God says, God says to Moses, I am who I am. That is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. God says, all you need to do is tell them what you know about me. You don't have to know it all. You have to tell them what you experienced from me. God goes on to say, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob appeared to me and said, in other words, just go tell the people I showed up for you. Just go tell the people I was there and I met you on the mountain. You don't have to know it all. You just have to know how God met you. You don't have to know it all. You don't have to memorize the scriptures. My favorite evangelistic verse in all of the Bible is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. It doesn't say memorize the Romans Road. It doesn't say know the Old Testament and New Testament. It doesn't say be in church 27 hours a week. It says just be able to tell people why you have hope and do it with gentleness and respect. Don't thump them over the head with the Bible. Oh, that's another sermon for another day, but y'all heard that little part of the verse, right? We don't have to know everything about God to lead the kingdom for God and lead people into the kingdom for God. We just have to speak what you know. What has God done for you? Do you know what God's done for you? Y'all are like, I'm not sure if I want to answer because you might actually ask me to spill it out here now. I won't, I promise. But you know what God's done for you? So leaders, and we're all leaders, are you feeling a little more confident? Yes. I mean, first of all, Moses is expressing the questions we all have. Like, we want to make fun of Moses's but gods. But the reality is, they're echoes from our own conversations, most of us. Oh, it's just me. It's just me. It's fine. Exodus 4:1. Moses answers, yes, Lord. No, that's not what he says. He says, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? But God, they don't believe me. But God, they'll say I'm crazy. I'll move it up a few thousand years. But God, they'll just say I'm a Jesus freak. But God, nobody will listen to me. I've tried this before, remember? I've shared my hope with people, and they didn't listen. Nobody respects me. God, I don't have authority over those elders. I don't have authority over those people. You're calling me to do this thing, to change the world, to bring people into freedom, and I don't have a voice to do that. I don't have an audience to do that. You don't think you can change the world because you don't have the voice or you don't have the authority or you don't have the knowledge base? Tell that to Einstein and Lincoln and Rosa Parks. Tell that to former enlisted people who are applying for OCS. Tell that to abused children who are called to care for children and teach them how they are supposed to be loved appropriately. Tell that to the stay-at-home mom who after 13 years, or I'm sorry, got excited. Tell that to the stay-at-home mom whose 13-year-old child was killed by a drunk driver. And she changed the way the entire nation thought about drinking and driving, educating people and saving tens upon tens upon tens of thousands of lives by starting Mothers Against Drunk Driving and teaching people that getting behind the wheel of a car is not okay. Tell that to her, because she was a nobody with no voice and nothing. How about the street vendor in Tunisia who in 2010 spoke out against his government? He ended up being martyred for it, but it sparked a revolution in Tunisia that freed a people from one of the most brutal dictators that's ever been, and we don't hear about it because Tunisia's little and not super important to us, but set his country free. Nobody is too small to do what God has given you to do when God is with you and has called you to do it. Amen, church? God goes on to give Moses three signs and wonders that he can perform to back up his claim. He tells him, throw your stick down, it becomes a snake, pick it up. You know, there's put your hand in your jacket, it's leprous, put it back in, it's healed. Like there's a bunch of different things. Well, there's three different things. And in the midst of that, God says, this, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. See, God is not going to call you to do something and then not make a way. When we were getting ready to church plant, it was before the pandemic, and the week we were supposed to start fundraising and being in the community and doing all this stuff was the week that the whole nation locked, the whole world locked down. And there was an encouragement. It was a very valid question, like, should you guys hit pause? Like, how do you plant a church in the middle of a pandemic? This was March, and we were supposed to launch in September, and people were distancing. Like, it was crazy. But God had really specifically said, keep pressing. The town of Indianhead needs your presence. The people there need to know that you are not going to walk away because it just got harder. And he opened door after door after door, but we had to set up, like we sat down with leadership and set up a go, no-go checklist. Like you must get this to go forward some more. Because in all honesty, it didn't make any sense for us to continue the church plant in the middle of the pandemic. But God told us to. And at every go or no-go, we blew through it like God just provided way more than was required for us to continue on the process. God is not calling you to fail, and God is not calling you to humiliate yourself doing what he said. And so here's what I want us to walk away with in this moment is that God has your back. Amen. If God has called you to do something, God has your back. Be careful. Make sure God called you to do it. Like there are some things, be a good wife, be a good husband, be a good leader, follow these precepts. Those are all written in scripture. Those are all given. Like whatever category you fall into, walking in God's character, we're called to do it and he will equip us to do that. You don't have to think about that, wonder about that. If God's calling you to start a business, plan a church, do some other things, do me a favor, check in with him, make sure it's his voice. But if he's the one who's called you to it, he's going to see you through it. God has your back. He's the ultimate battle buddy. My military folks in the room know exactly what that means. He's got your back. You think we're getting done with Moses' butts? Not quite. Read with me Exodus 4:10. Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." Moses says, "Okay, God, but I don't speak well. I have a stutter. I can't do this." Moses says, I'm not polished enough. I'm not skilled enough. God, I don't have the right skills for the task. Has anybody ever told God that? I want you to be a worship leader. I don't play an instrument. Learn to play the piano. Shawnee, picking on you just a little bit. Letting you testify. Not picking on you. Letting you testify. I don't have the skill set. Can I get some amens? Amen. God spoke the universe into being. Amen?
Amen.
God is all-knowing. Amen?
Amen?
God is all-powerful. Amen?
Amen?
God caused a donkey to prophesy. God turned a refugee girl into a queen that would save her people. God took the runt of the litter in David, the forgotten brother out in the field, and made him the greatest king that the world has ever known. And we want to say, but God, we can't. No, we can't. We could do it on our own, we wouldn't need God. But see, it's God's kingdom and God's plan. I don't know about you, but I think the Lord is getting a little annoyed at this point. Anybody else think he might be getting a little frustrated with us? I mean, Moses, not us. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will help you speak and teach you what to say. Church, have no doubt if God says, here's the job, you will have the resources you need to accomplish the job. God will equip you for your assignment. Does anybody need some equipping? Does anybody need to remember they are equipped? You are equipped for your assignment. And the same Moses who was so quick to intervene for his people 40 years before said, but Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. Have you ever said to God, I just can't. I know you've given me all the reasons why I can, but can you just let me off the hook here? I don't want to do this. Pastor Rick, nobody's ever had that happen before. Apparently, it's silent in this room. I hear you, God, but I just can't do it. And God said, Can I suggest in the room that we don't actually go here? Like all the other buts, God was pretty patient with. All the other buts, he reminded Moses, he did all the things. And here we get to this, and Moses says, I know you've given me everything I need. I know you're going with me. I know you've given me signs and wonders. But can you just not send me? Exodus 4:14 says the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And he says, and he goes on to give him a solution. What about your brother, Aaron? He can speak well, fine, he's already on his way. See, Moses, you didn't know Aaron was on his way. I knew Aaron was on his way because I knew we had this assignment to do, but Aaron's on his way. You do the signs and wonders. He'll do the speaking. I'll tell him what to say. I'll tell you what to do. But don't miss the fact that it said the Lord's anger burned against Moses. There are times when God calls us and gives us all the reassurances we need, and we still say, just not ready. Church, stop doubting your creator. Because what actually happens here is Moses limits God's plans for his life. See, God had a plan for Moses to go and do the thing. And Moses so tried to get out of the plan that God sent Aaron to help him. But by the way, Aaron would cause him trouble later. There would be bickering and infighting that would take place. And it would all get worked out. But they're all things that didn't have to happen. I think of Queen Esther and how she tells Mordecai, I just can't go before the king. It could cost me my life. And her uncle says, well, you can go and live or die, but if you don't go, you'll surely die, and God will send someone else to do what I've assigned you to do. God's plan will be accomplished. Don't miss the blessing of doing your part. We have not missed the blessing as a church of doing our part in this community. We are experiencing the blessing of God. But it's not just us as a church. As an individual, God has given you something to do. I don't know what your something is. Some of you I know sort of what your something is because you come talk to me about it. It's really exciting and it's great. But no matter what stage of life you're in, God has an assignment for you. Don't reject him. Don't miss the blessing of walking in what he's given you. All right, let me put it this way. Let me see if I can take some of the heavy out. When God gives you an assignment, and he will, what's it say? Get your butts out of the way and obey. Because we've all got them. Some of us more than, anyway. We've all got them. The only but we should have is but God. But God will equip us for what he's called us for. The bottom line is this: God does not call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So the leadership lesson for us today, the wisdom from the wilderness and the journey of Moses, is that we surrender our assignment to God and walk in his plan. Amen, church? Amen. You guys ready? Who knows what their plan is? Who knows you got an assignment from the Lord? I'm not going to ask you what it is. I'm not going to ask you to confess it to anybody else. Fear, terror just fell over the room. Know what your assignment is. Look for your burning bush. Listen for God's voice. Surrender yourself and walk in the plan. Pastor Rick, would you come pray for us? Would y'all stand?
So cool. We talk about the nobody. Well, you see a guy in front of you that's not eloquent and slow to speech. But what does God do when he gets a hold of you? Like, I look out over this entire room and see people that we walk with every single day, and God's got something, and God's working some things. And so I just encourage you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for this message. Lord, I was watching the comments scroll online about how this message is getting up in my business today. So God, we just thank you. We thank you for the message that was delivered, Lord. We thank you for the encouragement, God. And would you just help us? Because it's really hard to step out of our comfort zone. It's really hard for us to take that step, that first step. God, would you encourage us? Would you remind us that we are your fine children? We are not nobodies. And you want to use us. And so as Pastor Jen said, Lord, let us get our butts out of the way. And would you do your thing with us, Lord? Would you use us in great and mighty, mighty ways? We thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to come together, Lord. And we pray this in your name. Amen.